Well, thank you very much for inviting myself and my colleagues to give this presentation on some preliminary results from our ESRC project. I should emphasise this is very much a team project, even though I'm doing the presentation today. So my colleagues are Maria Brew, Alan Hughes and Vadim Brinovich from the University of Cambridge. And Maria and Vadim are in the audience and they will answer any difficult questions you may have later about the project. What I want to do is really tell you some of the preliminary results of our project, and I'm really going to go through these pretty quickly given the time constraint. The presentation is long, so I'm going to zoom through it pretty quickly, but if you have any questions or issues, do come and talk to Maria, Vadim and myself after the session. But first of all, some preliminaries. University business interactions have evolved, as the Minister was telling us earlier. Earlier before, there was a focus very much on a narrow model of university business interactions, a focus on technology transfer in particular. Now we're much moving to a wider model, whereas the focus is on a wide range of interactions, and the focus is on exchange rather than just transfer, the notion that there's an iterative process between different parties. So we're moving from the narrow to the wider model, but we don't know that much about how the wider model works so far, and we're trying to give some insights on this. So just to mention, the narrow model, the focus on technology transfer, the focus on our mechanisms such as patents, licenses, and spin-outs. Important, but incomplete. An incomplete model of the way universities and businesses interact. It's incomplete because it misses many of the interactions. The financial rewards are very frequently overestimated. That's particularly a point for vice chancellors. Your technology transfer office is not going to make you a lot of money. It may cost you money. And often metrics distort behavior. If you focus on that you judge universities by patents and licenses and spin-outs, then that may actually create more patents, licenses, and spin-outs than you actually want. So we're now moving to a much more wider notion of knowledge exchange, a wider model, a more of a systems approach rather than looking at individual transactions, a focus on the importance that universities have if not only in technology transfer, but of educating people, in solving problems, the fact that many disciplines are important, not just science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, the wide range of disciplines are important. Also that universities don't only interact with businesses, they interact with the public and third sector, and we'll make some observations about this. And also, and a very important point about universities, they don't move. Okay, they're one of the very few economic actors that don't move, along with airports and football teams in most cases. But they're very important, they don't move. So they have a public space function, often neglected but distinct. They create a space for networking, social interactions, meetings, and so on. And of course, the point I made again, the focus now is not on exchange, it's not on transfer, it's more on exchange, the way businesses, universities, and other parts of society can interact. So we can focus here on multiple mechanisms, educating people, increasing the stock of codified knowledge, problem-solving functions, and public space functions, a wide range of functions. I'm not going to go through all of these. These were identified by Cross, Hughes, and Lester in a report published in 2006. But universities, businesses, and the rest of society interact through many different mechanisms. It's not just simply technology transfer. Also, we need to remember that universities are an important source of knowledge, but they're only one component of the university of the innovation ecosystem. When we look at many other surveys, we find out that suppliers and customers for businesses are very important as a source of information and a source of knowledge for innovation. It's not just universities. Also, focusing on formal collaborations may actually be too restrictive. Many of the evidence we pick up is informal interactions are very important in the way universities interact. And universities are also important because they combine with other sources of information for innovation. They're used in combination with internal sources, other businesses, and intermediary institutions. Okay, so it's very much an ecosystem in which the universities are important, but they're only one part. Another point to remember, the importance of diversity. Universities are different. They're not all the same. Now, the Sainsbury report says we can distinguish between research universities and business-facing universities. Now, that's a start, but I think this sort of bimodal split is too simplistic. Universities are very diverse, and we need to bear in mind the importance of diversity. But some unresolved issues that we're trying to shed some light on. The relative importance of non-traditional types of interactions. It's just not patents, licenses, and spin-outs. It's public space functions and so on. Collaboration beyond just science and engineering. Okay, interactions with all disciplines. And interactions with the public and third sector as well. It's not just important for the private sector, but also the public and third sector. So what I want to do now is just show you some of the data on this. We'll go through this pretty quickly, and you'll come back to us with questions later. Our project, sponsored as part of this initiative, is multi-methodological. In the first stage, we've done some scoping case studies between business and academics to see how they interact. In the second stage, what we're doing now is presenting some of the evidence of our large-scale surveys of how businesses and academics interact. And finally, there will be some in-depth case studies following on from the results of our survey. The first stage of the report was done in collaboration with the Council for Industry and Higher Education. The results are on the Centre for Business Research website. There's a working paper there if you want to see it. But I'm mainly talking about here the second stage of the large-scale surveys. First of all, we surveyed academics, and then we surveyed businesses. First of all, our survey of academics. It's an online survey. It's still underway. We've done many parts of the United Kingdom, including Northern Ireland. The results I'm going to present now are based on nearly 7,000 observations. I think that's probably one of the largest surveys of academics that's been undertaken. It's still ongoing. Our current evidence, we now have 9,000, even though the results I'm going to present are based on just under 7,000. When we finish the project in a few months' time, we're hoping for in excess of 15,000 responses. So we get a good idea of what academics are doing. 20% response rate. Northern Ireland is complete. We have 632 respondents for Northern Ireland. That's a 24% response rate. Our academics in Northern Ireland have been a bit more responsive to our survey than the rest of the UK, and we're very grateful for that. So what are some of the results we're picking up here? This shows interactions by discipline. Okay, so we have a range of disciplines here, and to highlight, that's private sector, that's public sector, and that's third sector. So you're picking up that disciplines, a wide range of disciplines, are interacting with others. Okay, right, interacting with the public sector, the private sector, and the third sector. So we see engineering is important, as everybody focuses on. Health sciences is important, as many people focus on. But also social sciences, the arts and humanities, particularly for the public sector and third sector, are important. It's not just science, technology, engineering, and maths. They're important, but it's other parts of the disciplines as well. These are interactions by disciplines for Northern Ireland. We're seeing a pretty similar picture here for Northern Ireland, but it seems to be that slightly higher interactions for academics in the social sciences and academics in arts and humanities, slightly higher in Northern Ireland, but a similar sorts of picture. How do these academics interact? Okay, they can interact through various ways. What we call people-based activities, trainings, student placements, and so on. Problem-solving activities, research, advice, joint publications. Or community-based activities, engaging, giving lectures to the public, engaging in school activities, and so on. And what sorts of interactions do we pick up here? People-based activities. A wide range of activities here, from attending conferences, participating in networks, giving invited lectures, enterprise education a bit lower here, but a wide range of interactions in terms of people-based activities. This is up here, over 60% of respondents beyond this line. Okay, our academics are engaged in lots and lots of people-based activities. Again, similar, this is the Northern Ireland data. Again, we find similar sorts of pictures for Northern Ireland, slightly higher in terms of student placements, slightly higher in terms of being on advisory boards, and slightly higher in terms of enterprise education. But not a dissimilar picture to the UK, but a little bit of variation in Northern Ireland. What about problem-solving activities? Again, here we see lots of different problem-solving activities, from joint research, contract research, consultancy. What's important here is particularly informal advice. Okay, we don't pick this up in many other surveys, but lots of informal advice. Nearly 60% of our academics are engaged in giving informal advice to the business, public, or private sectors. Again, if we look at this in terms of Northern Ireland, we find a very, very similar picture. A similar sort of pattern, a little bit of variation, but a similar pattern in Northern Ireland. What about community-based activities? Here we've identified things, giving lectures for the community, community-based activities, school projects, and so on. Here, again, a lot of activity from academics. Okay, over 30% are involved in school projects, which we were surprised at, but it's a very important component. And if we look at Northern Ireland, it's similar, but much higher in terms of school projects. Now, we didn't know what the reason for that was, but the Minister did mention before an initiative to engage academics with schools. Perhaps that's the reason that result is higher in Northern Ireland than it is for the rest of the UK. So academics are engaged in lots of interactions, okay, in lots of different forms of academics, different academic disciplines, different forms of mechanisms. What does it mean for what else they do, their research and their teaching? It helps their research in general. It leads to new research projects, it strengthens their reputation, it provides new insight. Very little or no impact is very small. Okay? It seems these interactions strengthen what academics do in terms of research. What does it do in terms of their teaching. It seems to strengthen their teaching. Okay, it changes, it helps them change courses, strengthens their reputation, helps new material and so on. Again, little impact is much smaller than all of these other positive impacts. Okay, so these sorts of interactions are wide-ranging across a range of disciplines, a range of impacts, and seem to strengthen academics in terms of their teaching and in terms of their research. That's very much an overview of what we've looked at in terms of academics. As I say, that survey is ongoing. We're reporting here 7,000 observations for the UK. It will hopefully be around about 15 or 16 when we finished it in a few months' time. We've also done a matched survey of businesses, okay, to look at how businesses and universities interact. Here, our total sample was 23,000, and we got usable responses of just under 2,400, so just over 11%. So our academics were more responsive than our businesses. But again, this is a useful sample size to look at what's going on in terms of business interactions. First of all, do businesses employ somebody to help them liaise with HEIs? Well, as you see, most firms don't, but there's a distinct impact in terms of firm size. Okay, the larger firms are more likely to have somebody within the business to help them interact with HEIs. Okay, that gives them that sort of gatekeeper role. So the larger firms have somebody who can help them engage with universities. Who do they engage with? Who do the businesses say they engage with in terms of disciplines? Here, again, a range of disciplines. Okay, it's quite correct. Engineering is here. It's the highest one. But also we find business and financial studies, maths and computing, again, planning and urban design seem to be important. So it's a high demand for STEM, but also social sciences and built environment. But also a range of other disciplines down here are important in terms of the interaction. So it's STEM is important, but it's not just STEM. Why do businesses interact with universities and HEIs? The basic point here is for a range of issues. It's not just about getting technology. Okay, technology and product development are important, but there's a range of reasons that businesses interact with universities. Okay, from procurement to logistics to operations to marketing and so on. It's just not simply about technology transfer. How are interactions with universities initiated? A range of ways that businesses impact and engage with universities. But the basic point I want to make here, this is a technology transfer office. It's low, okay? Most businesses don't interact with universities through the technology transfer office. It may be important, but in terms of the proportion, it's low. It's more likely to be here. The business engaging in an approach to the university. Not through the technology transfer office, but informal approach by the business to the university. So it's the technology transfer offices are important, but they are relatively low in terms of the proportions here. What sorts of activities do businesses say they're engaged with universities in? This is the overall results for the same category of groups I mentioned before. Okay, people-based activities, problem-solving activities, community-based activities. There's a high level of interaction in terms of people-based activities, people-based connectivities. Okay, it rises with size, as we see. Okay, so with firm size, the larger the firms, they're more likely to interact with universities. Okay, for these range of, in terms of people-based activities. The micro is small, proportionately, 17.9% of micro firms. But if you look at the population of micro firms, that's an awful lot of firms in absolute numbers. 18% of micro firms, a lot of firms are interacting with universities in terms of people-based activities. What about our problem-solving activities? Again, this is all that whole range of problem-solving activities I outlined before. Again, we see here the percentage, again, increases with size. It's lower in small and micro firms, but gets bigger here. So the size effect, again, is at fault that you see here in terms of problem-solving activities. What about community-based activities? Again, those community-based activities, again, we see a high degree of involvement, but again, increasing with size. The larger firms are more likely to be engaged with universities in delivering community-based activities. So we see that size effect across the people-based interactions, across the problem-solving interactions, and across the community-based interactions. Now, when we ask businesses, did you get a major significant impact from being engaged with universities? What's the results we got? Well, here we find that nearly 45% of those firms we saw said that the engagement with the university had a significant positive impact on their business's operations. We can disentangle how it actually affected their business's operations in due course, but basically 45% saying it had a significant impact. The largest impact was with medium and large firms. They engaged more with universities and more likely to have a bigger impact on the way the business performed in terms of their engagement. Why didn't firms interact with universities, or what constrained their interactions? This shows a list of constraints, why firms said they constrained the way they interacted with universities. It prevented them doing so or limited what they did. As you see at the top, lack of resources in the firm to manage the interaction were important. There was also a criticism of lack of regional programs or the difficulty in identifying partners. Now, obviously, that's going to be larger with the small firms, whether the small firms didn't have somebody within the firm that could help them engage with universities, as we saw earlier. But a range of different factors were constraining interactions. What's important here, I think, is that these things that are often identified as being highly important, cultural, academics are different to businesses, that's low. The cultural differences is only 8% is a constraint. The other constraint, the IP now, is a real problem. Again, it may be a problem of specific incidences, but overall, difficulty in reaching agreements on IP was low as a constraint. The constraint was much more about having resources within the firm or being able to identify the key partner within the university that you want to interact with. Now, of course, many firms do not interact with HEIs. What were the reasons for not interacting with HEIs, which links to this question? Many reasons for not interacting with HEIs. The one I want to really identify here is, and we should remember, it's not considered relevant. Of those who are not engaging with HEIs, they just didn't think it's relevant. There will be lots of businesses out there that will gain from interacting with universities, but there will also be a lot of businesses that don't need to interact with universities. They can succeed and be competitive and actually be innovative without engaging with universities. Okay, so it's not that we shouldn't force everybody to have to engage with universities. I'm fine. And there's a range of other reasons here. You couldn't, no information on the benefits, no information on how to get back, to go about it, and so on. So many firms don't need to, but a significant proportion, again, cite information problems, which links to understanding what universities can deliver to you or having people within your business who can help you engage with the university. Those sorts of results we picked up before. Okay, last couple of slides. I didn't realise I had so much time. I thought I had to speed up. Right. What's the knowledge exchange? What's the state of play from our results at the moment? First of all, there is no one ideal model of university business interactions. Lots of different interactions that take place with different universities, different regional contexts, and so on. We're picking up here a wide range of interactions. It's not a narrow range of interactions, a wide range of interactions. The ones that seem to be most important are people-based, okay? Involve people moving across boundaries, across disciplines, across organizations, and so on. The interactions encompass a wide range of disciplines and involve the business, public, and third sector. Okay, so it's not just science and technology. They're important, but it's also the social sciences and also the humanities are engaging with businesses, with the third sector, and with the public sector. Often many of the results we look at university business interactions look at formal interactions between the science base and businesses. They're missing many of the informal interactions, they're missing many of the interactions outside of engineering and science, and they're missing many of the interactions with the public sector and the third sector, which we think are important and which we need to explore more. Many of the interactions involve strategic long-term problems rather than specific technical issues. One of the interactions we're seeing involve long-term relationships. There may be different mechanisms within those relationships, but there may be long-term relationships between the third, private, public sector, and universities. And increasingly, we're picking up not only from these results, but from the case study works we've been doing, is the importance of gatekeepers. People on both sides of the relationship that can help identify, promote, and ensure the success of interactions. Interactions from the universities to businesses, to the third sector, to the public sector, many of them are not easy. Okay, they're not easy to identify, they're not easy to manage, they're not easy to sustain. They are important, but they're not easy because they are an exchange process rather than a knowledge transfer process. And what's the importance of having people across both parts of the relationship, both parts of the institutions that can help identify and sustain and manage these relationships in the longer run? My last point really is this. If I have to sum this up, we actually often have the idea that universities are comprised individual academics working in isolation from the rest of society. I like to argue that really our results suggest that really the ivory tower is largely a myth. Okay, there may be academics who do this, but a lot of academics are highly engaged with society, either with engagements with business, either with engagements with the third sector, and either engagements with the public sector across a wide range of mechanisms. And I think universities here are very important contributors to the economy and to society, both nationally and regionally. Thank you very much, Jeremy.
Can I now introduce Richard Harris from the University of Glasgow, who's going to talk about the impact of university firm knowledge links. I'm not going to weaken now and allow people to ask questions. Hopefully there will be an opportunity to ask Mike at the end. Okay, over to you, Richard.